In this week's Parsha, Parshas Tzav, we're introduced to a korban called the korban taida. It's a type of shlamim, but whereas a regular shlamim doesn't have a specific time for bringing it, a person could bring a shlamim whenever, a korban taida comes at four specific times. Basically, whenever a person would bench goymel, would say the bracha for a goymel, that's when he would have to bring a korban taida in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. If he was very sick and got better, if he survived a journey either overseas or through a desert, or if he got out of jail, he would have to bring a korban taida. In which way is a korban taida different than a regular shlamim? A person who brings a taida brings it with four different types of bread, 10 of each type, which means that he's coming with 40 loaves of bread. Of these 40 loaves, one of each type goes to the kohen, which means that four loaves are going to the kohen, and he's left with 36 loaves of bread, 9 of each type. The second difference is the time that he has to eat the korban. A korban taida has to be eaten during the day and at night until chatzos. D'oraisa, he really has until alais, but d'rabbanon, we cut it off by chatzos. That means that there's not very much time to eat this korban with all the breads. The regular shlamim has the day the korban is brought, the whole night, and the entire following day, which means that with the taida, with the 36 loaves of bread, you have less time to eat it, despite the fact that there's a whole lot more to eat. We would think that with the addition of 36 loaves of bread, we should have more time given to us to eat, not less. Why is this so? The Ha'emek Davar answers that the reason is that a person who is bringing the korban in order to be able to eat all that meat and all the bread would then invite many people to help him eat all the food, which is a way of being mefarsim the nes, a way of publicizing the miracle which happened to him, which is an important part of bringing the korban taida. For the same reason, Birchas HaGoymel is only done in front of 10 people. We say in Hallel, Tehillim, L'cha ezbach zevach taida, I'm going to bring to you a korban taida, and continue, Negda na l'chol amai. We're bringing it opposite the whole nation. That means that the korban taida is a korban that is brought dafka in front of a lot of people, and we want to invite a lot of people to our party. And when they come to the party, we explain to them why we're making this party, what are we celebrating. We're mefarsim the nes, we publicize the nes, which makes a Kiddush Hashem, which in some way fills up our reserve of what we've used up, the schuyas that we've used up to merit this miracle, to merit this nes, are being mekadesh Shem Hashem by talking about the nes and attributing the nes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fills up again our diminished reservoir of schus, of merit, that we may have used up with this nes. Rav Nebenzel brings another reason for this anomaly that we have more to eat and less time to eat it. And he says that the nature of a person is that time dulls inspiration. A nace that happened last week, which was so astounding at the top of the news, becomes old news very quickly, stale and not as exciting. Therefore, to symbolize this very real reality of human nature, you have to eat the whole korban taida on the day that you bring it to show that today I'm inspired, so that your full emotions are there when you are eating, when you are partaking from the korban taida. Inspiration is not something that grows with time. Inspiration diminishes as time goes on. We know this from ourselves, from our own experiences. A mitzvah that we do only once or twice a year is much more exciting than one we do every day. Even reading the Megillah on Purim at the daytime is less exciting than the reading of the Megillah at nighttime. We say Shechianu only on mitzvahs that we don't do every single day, only on the more rare mitzvahs. The things we do every day are not as inspiring as the things that come around only once in a while. A regular shlamim is not brought when a person is inspired. A regular shlamim is brought, it's an intellectual decision to solidify a spiritual gain which I have attained. I've gotten myself, I've worked on something, perhaps I made a Kabbalah, or it's a part of learning that a person has done, and worked on developing this part of my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and after this long period of investment in order to solidify those spiritual gains, he brings a karbon. It's the end of a process. A taita is different. A taita comes with a burst of inspiration. There's a Gemara where Rava sees Rav Hamnuna and he's davening along Shemana Esrei. Rav Hamnuna is davening along Shemana Esrei. And Rava says to him, Meinichim chaye oilam va'oiskim b'chaye sha'a. You are abandoning the eternal world and instead you're spending time on a transient world, on a world that lasts only for an hour. In other words, he's saying you're taking extra time for tefillah, and that extra time for tefillah should be used for learning. This is a very hard statement to understand because we know how valuable tefillah is. So what is Rava trying to tell him? And on the simplest level, we could say that what most people daven for are things that I need here for this world. We daven for parnasa, and we daven for health, and we daven for a shidduch, and we daven for nachas from our children, and we daven for all kinds of very transient things when we're looking at a lifetime of eternity. So this is whatever it is that you're davening for, that's chayesha, that's transient. Spend your time learning Torah, which is with you for all eternity and forever. But we could understand it in a different way based on what we've been saying. There's two ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person learns Torah, he's using his mind. We do learn cumulatively. What I learned yesterday is still with me today. Torah is chaye oila. It's eternal. Yes, we have to review what we've learned. But once we have learned something, it's there and it's mine forever. Tefillah uses a different part of us. Tefillah is emotion, and emotion doesn't work like that. A good mincha yesterday does not mean that I'll have a good one today. I need to daven, and to daven with emotion, and that emotion doesn't necessarily last. It doesn't pass on from one day to the next. In other words, tefillah, emotion, is chaye sha'a. Every time I daven, I have to work on my emotion again. It's like food. Just because I was satiated yesterday does not mean that I will be satisfied again today. I need to recreate that state every single day. I need to recreate my emotion every single day. You can't preserve emotion, nor can you really pass it on. It does help with our emotion when we see somebody else being emotional, and it helps with our inspiration when we see and we experience and we live with someone who is inspired. It's true. But for that emotion to be mine, it has to be mine. That means it has to be real and it has to be mine. And often it's mine at this moment. The shlamim represents intellectual gains, which I've worked on day by day, where today's accomplishment will connect to tomorrow's and the next day's and the next. And therefore, I can eat today's karban, today's shlamim, tomorrow as well. However, taida is today's inspiration. Tomorrow it won't be here, so I should eat it quickly and eat it all today. So which is a better way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If we're going back to that Gemara and that conversation that Rava has with Rav Hamnuna, we would say, well then, we should be focusing on our intellect and not on our emotion, because intellect is forever. Intellect is mine. Intellect is built on. Intellect is cumulative. But let's look at Moshe Rabbeinu's war with Amalek. That war in the desert, Moshe is at the top of the mountain, and he's there with two people who are supporting his arms, Aaron and Hur. And here on top of this mountain, we have all three pillars of Yiddishkeit. We have the Torah, which is Moshe. We have the Avoda, the service in the Beis HaMikdash, which today is Tefillah, and that's Aaron, of course. And we have Hur. Hur was the son of Miriam, and Miriam represents the third pillar of Chesed, of Gemilas Chesedim. She is the one who saved the children. She is the one who saved Moshe Rabbeinu. Miriam is Chesed. And when I have all three pillars there, I have Moshe, I have Aaron, and I have Hur. And we would think, okay, Amalek is coming to fight us. What should we be doing up here? What's our most powerful tool? We would think that Moshe should be teaching them Torah. You should be teaching them a Gemara. You should be teaching them some complicated Rambam. You should be teaching them Torah. I know I'm being anachronistic, but he should be teaching Torah. He should be using intellect. And he's not. We know what he's doing. He's davening. They are all davening. But didn't Amalek come because Rafa Yudea Min HaTorah? Didn't Amalek come because they weren't learning enough Torah? Why aren't they learning? Isn't Torah called Chaye Olam? Why does he daven? And the answer is, in a regular time, the way to get to Kiryas Elokim is definitely to do it step by step in a methodical, intellectual way. But that is when we have the time to build, when we have the luxury of working on ourselves slowly and intellectually. But sometimes we don't have the time. We need to get to Kiryas Elokim Miyadit. We need to get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately, right now. And the only way we can do that is with tefillah, with inspiration, with emotion. And this is why, for example, we spend the whole day of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in shul and we are davening, not learning, even though the tremendous schar we would get from learning would certainly tip the scales, those symbolic scales that say that we're exactly halfway and we have to do one more mitzvah and the scales will tip. So why aren't we learning Torah? Why are we standing and davening? We should be learning. And the answer is that in a time of danger, when I don't have time to build myself up, I have one tool in my hand, and that tool is tefillah. There is a caveat to the pillar of avodah, though, to the pillar of tefillah, to the pillar of inspiration. With the other two amudim, with the other two pillars, Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, thought and action, of course it's important to have the right kavana. Of course it's important to be doing things and thinking things in the proper way. It's much of the story is how I'm doing the chesed and how I'm and why I'm learning the Torah. But at the end of the day, if a person gives tzedakah, even if he's giving it with the wrong intention, if a person does chesed, and even if a person is learning something and he doesn't have the right kavana, at the end of the day, the knowledge is still his, the poor person still has the money, the sick person was still visited, the people were still helped. You can accomplish chesed certainly, and even Torah without having the right kavana. But when we're talking about inspiration, when we're talking about emotion, if the emotion is not there, if the inspiration is not there, when the work that I'm doing is the work of inspiration, even though of course we know that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah who created the tefillah for us, there's a kayach in the words themselves that even without kavana there certainly is power to the words. But in this area, with this pillar, the pillar of tefillah, especially because it's a chayei sha'a, especially because it's transient, we should be investing ourselves, that we should try to access that emotion, to be present and to be aware, so that the tefillah should accomplish the goal of an immediately kiryas elokim. We know that Purim has that special Koyach, the special power, says that whenever a person comes to the door on Purim to ask for tzedakah, anyone who reaches out his hand, we should give him. And we have that special Koyach on Purim as well, that if we reach out our hand to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's a skula that he will give us what it is that we want. Klal Yisrael certainly has a lot of things to daven for right now. The world is being shaken up over the last 2 years in a way that we are having a hard time comprehending, even finding the right words to describe it. We should be zeicha to a Purim of Kol HaPoshet Yad, any one of us who reaches out our hands and whatever it is that we're davening for with true emotion should be answered l'tova.